So, Dr. Rathore, let's begin with you. As I mentioned, just one confirmed case so far in Dallas. However, Governor Scott was briefed on what they initially thought was a case of Ebola over in Sarasota, Florida. Can you share with us exactly how the state's health officials are preparing to make sure that the state is ready in case we do have a case in our state?
Well, Melissa, the Department of Health has been communicating with the county health departments, who have then subsequently communicated with the healthcare community, physicians, and hospitals. So, as often happens in these situations, we work very closely with the Department of Health to make sure we are addressing the issue.
And for people who have been following this just casually, let's talk about this disease. Can you explain how the virus spreads, the symptoms, Ebola 101, if you will?
Well, I think it's important to remember that it's, first of all, this is a serious disease, but it's not that easy to get. You are probably 10 times, 20 times more likely to get measles and 3 or 4 times more likely to get influenza, or more likely than that. This is a disease that you, first of all, you can't get by just casual contact. You have to have contact with the body fluids and secretions. So it's not that easy to get.
That's right. And most people start developing symptoms within 8 to 10 days of being exposed. Yeah. At that point, the treatment is to isolate them.
So you have to be exposed to somebody who already has symptoms. And after exposure to somebody with symptoms, it could be as long as 21 days. 8 to 10 days is the usual period of time. And the symptoms that you usually see are really not much different than the symptoms you would see with a bad viral infection. You could have fever, you can have nausea, headaches, tiredness, sort of things that people experience with the summer flu. And then it can go on to developing vomiting, diarrhea, you could have bad coughs, and it could combined with bleeding at that time.
And Charlie Patton, the director of the CDC, Dr. Thomas Frieden, is stressing this morning that the odds of contracting Ebola here in these United States still are extremely low. Even though he's stressing that, it's not necessarily doing a lot to quell fears among some that the virus is in this country. How important do you think it is to put those fears in perspective?
Well, I've heard Ebola compared somewhat to AIDS in the way it's transmitted, and AIDS was a terrifying thing to everybody when people first identified it. Today, people probably aren't as fearful of AIDS as they were at the height of the disease.
So. Yeah, in the early 1980s, there was just absolute panic and hysteria about HIV and AIDS.
And when Magic Johnson was identified as HIV positive, there were people that were afraid to go on the basketball court with him.
Right. And of course, it was similar to Ebola. There had to be a transmission of bodily fluids.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rathore, what would you say to those who, and they've emailed and called this program saying, well, what if the virus mutates and becomes airborne? Is that even likely?
Well, I don't believe we have any evidence that the virus can be transmitted airborne. Taking on what Charlie just mentioned, HIV is, you're 2 to 4 times more likely to get HIV or hepatitis C, for that matter, than Ebola. And don't forget that for HIV and hepatitis C, the transmission rate is for much longer because you're secreting the virus for much longer. For HIV, could be for your life. Whereas in this disease, in Ebola, you're only when you are symptomatic and you're sick. So I think, yes, the risk is there. It's very scary. But I think I agree with Dr. Frieden from the CDC. The likelihood of this disease getting rampant in the United States is much less. And this has primarily got to do with our much better healthcare system, our robust public health system, which, by the way, I'm a great proponent that it needs to be even made more robust.
We'll go to your calls about the Ebola virus, your questions and comments in just a moment at 549-2937. And what are your thoughts about those who said, our American hospitals really need to step up their training after the man in Dallas was initially sent home with the virus, and now, of course, he's being isolated and treated?
So let me first answer the question, are our hospital, our healthcare system, are we prepared? If we follow CDC's recommendations, which hospitals do follow for infection prevention and control, we are prepared. Having said that, because of the concern that the public has, and because we need to maintain that confidence in the public that our hospitals are prepared, I believe most hospitals are gearing up to developing some additional measures. I know we at Baptist Health are really working hard on that to focus on what else we can do. Things are already in place. We just have to educate others. And I also know that UF Health, I'm not involved in that part of it, has also released a statement with similar. So I believe most of the hospitals are working on that as they should be, not because we don't have the systems in place. We just need to upscale those and make the healthcare community more aware. And you're correct. That happened in Dallas, but I think that was an anomaly.
And Charlie Patton, you mentioned the early years of AIDS. When it comes to a vaccine for Ebola, there is no approved drug or vaccine yet.
That's correct.
They're trying to work on that, of course. There's an experimental drug only available in limited quantities. And your comments just a moment ago put me in mind of those early years. It took a long time for health officials to come up with a treatment for HIV that was effective.
Right. And they have since come up with some effective treatments.
Yeah, but it's been years in the making. Do you see a similar trajectory, Doctor, for this?
Well, I think this will be, first of all, be faster. We've actually known about this disease for a long time. There have been outbreaks for over the years. This is the first time in West Africa, and I think we do have that ZMAP, which was given to two of the patients in the United States. I think what's more important is we build a strong healthcare system in parts of the world where there is Ebola. If it's Ebola this year, it could be something else following year or the next year. So, you know, we hear about MERS, SARS, all these things. It's a small world. We are all interconnected.
Yeah, and that really has been brought home, hasn't it, Charlie? It's a big world, but we are. These diseases are a plane ride away,
correct,
essentially.
Correct, yes. This, the guy in Dallas came from, I think it was Nigeria. Was
Liberia.
It?
Liberia.
Liberia.
Yeah. So what are your questions and comments about U.S. and Florida efforts to prepare for any potential cases of Ebola in our state? 549-2937. Let's go to Vern in Palm Coast now. Hi, Vern. Good morning.
Hi there. There's an old saying, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you say. Now, on the one hand, we say that this is not easily transmittable and no worries in the U.S. of A. And yet what you just said, it's a plane ride away. If I'm riding on a plane with somebody, I'm not wiping their brow. And we see the people getting off the planes. They're dressed like astronauts. We have all these precautions. Why, if it's not transmittable?
Yeah, that's Vern in Palm Coast. Thank you for that, Vern. Doctor.
Vern, that's an excellent question. I think we do things early on and out of abundance of caution. I think we know the science behind this. It's not easily transmittable. It's not going to be transmitted if you're sitting with somebody next to you on the airplane, unless you know they're going to be coughing into your face, which hopefully most people won't do. And so it has to be a direct bodily body contact, body fluids. It's not transmitted through aerosol.
549-2937. Don in Lake City, all the way over in Lake City this morning. Hi, Don. Good morning. Go ahead.
As mentioned before, there's a lot of misconceptions as to how you can contact this. My question has to do with if a news journalist who's been in the area, you know of the infectious nature of this virus, then if he wasn't in personal contact with someone affected that he know of, how can he end up with Ebola? Plus, is it transferable through handshakes, through the use of a bathroom door by an infected person? Can it be transmitted that way?
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's Don in Lake City. Charlie Patton, according to the CDC, this virus can survive for several hours on surfaces. In Africa, aren't they using like a bleach solution to kill where the virus might be residing?
I believe that's the case, yes. And he's referring, I think, to an NBC cameraman who has contracted the virus and is being brought back to the United States.
Right. A freelancer for NBC News contracted it as well.
So I think they're what we call high-touch areas, and it's part of the hospital policies that if you have in an infection that can be transmitted and that survives on surfaces, we clean those very carefully. Now, and this gentleman, I don't know the details about the NBC cameraman, but I know this gentleman who was in Dallas was actually in very close contact with this pregnant woman and was taking care of it, of this woman. And so I think it has to be very close contact. I think it's still, I maintain what I said earlier, you cannot get it just from casual close contact.
Lots of tweets and comments about this online. Meanwhile, we'll go back to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. Anthony tweets the show. It's unlikely we'll see a case in Florida, let alone multiple cases. Yes, there's been one positive, but there are also numerous negatives. They thought that there was an Ebola patient over in Sarasota, but now it appears he did not have the virus. And here's John on Facebook. We're ill-equipped to combat this in the U.S. Explain to me why the U.S. State Department just ordered 5,000 body bags for African victims of this illness, as well as 160,000 hazmat suits for domestic use. In the event this pandemic gets out of control, we need to close our borders to the entire continent until Ebola burns itself out. Lots of fear and concern out there, Charlie.
Yeah, I hadn't heard those statistics that he just used, so I don't have an answer for that.
Right, but just that one comment, Doctor. Here's a little bit more of what he has to say. Let's hear more from the CDC about our two-faced, we're not worried official stance while the virus works its way into our population. People are losing, it seems at least some, losing confidence in our major institutions such as the Centers for Disease Control to get a handle on this. What would you say to those who are cynical about our ability to keep this virus at bay?
Look, Melissa, this is a scary disease, no doubt about that. And I think, frankly, media has not helped in that. But I think it's important to remember that we have to be prepared. What CDC does is to be prepared to be ready for that. If it happens, we cannot just sit on with our hands and just say we're not going to do anything. Now, if you remember, there was a problem in Nigeria. We went out there, our people, CDC, went out there, helped them, and they contained the disease. They contained disease in a country that does not have a very strong healthcare system. Now, don't forget, in Liberia, there are 1 to 2 doctors per 100,000 population. You know how many doctors that would be in Jacksonville? 10 doctors.
Right. Yeah.
So if we can imagine a healthcare system which has 10 doctors for a million population, we are a much better, much stronger healthcare system, a public health system that has over the years deteriorated because of lack of funding, but it's coming back, and hopefully it'll come back, and it's things like this we have to do to make protect our citizenry.
And culturally, there's a difference, too. I was reading that in West Africa, there are many in the population that fear even saying the word Ebola will get you the disease. Makes it harder to contain the disease.
Plus, there's suspicion of the doctors that are trying to help them, the American doctors over there.
And I think I would remind people of the term we used to use early in the HIV epidemic. Be aware, not beware.
Yeah,
we have to be aware of what's going on. That's how we will protect ourselves.
Let's talk for a second, too, about Florida's efforts to be prepared. Right now, Texas Governor Rick Perry is under the microscope for how he's handling the case in Dallas. Obviously, the last thing Governor Rick Scott wants leading up to an election is to be caught flat-footed, Charlie, in case we have an issue in Florida. He huddled Saturday with all the state's top health officials on this.
Right, right. Dr. Armstrong was there and various health officials. And basically, the point he wanted to make clear is there has not been a case of Ebola in Florida.
And I think, Melissa, it's extremely important that the Department of Health takes the lead on this. But I think it's also equally important, if not more, the officials of the Department of Health are not the ones who are going to see the case. It's going to be your healthcare community. They have to connect with the healthcare community. They have to work with your health systems, your county medical societies. They have to reach out to us. We are preparing locally with some support from them. But I think that's the next step. You can talk to the health departments and their official, but they are not the ones who are going to see the first case.
Now, you mentioned the Duval County Medical Society, Doctor. You're the president. Can you share with us how that organization is grappling with this?
Well, we are keeping our members informed. We also have connection with the Duval County Health Department, and we work closely with them. And I think we have been, I think we need to work even more closely, I think. And we are trying to get some education activity done so we can inform the staff. And, of course, the hospitals are preparing if it actually comes to Jacksonville.
Here's a lot of comments on Facebook, by the way. If you want to call into the show, the number is 549-2937. Ruben commenting on our Facebook page, if Ebola is only transmitted through bodily fluids, why is it any time we see any patient that's coming into the U.S., everyone is covered head to toe with a breathing machine?
Well, I think things we do are out of abundance of caution. I think, you know, you can still have secretions that you could be exposed to. This is if you work with Ebola in the lab, it's called a BSL-4 lab. You have to have a higher level of protection. So I think, you know, when you are early on in any epidemic, you have to be extra careful about anything.
And meanwhile, Charlie Patton, I don't know if you saw this, but your own organization, the Florida Times Union, reporting that during Sunday's game between the Jaguars and the Steelers at Everbank Field, Jackson DeVille stepped into hot water, making a joke about Ebola. According to Yahoo Sports, our mascot carried a Steelers terrible towel around with the words, "Towels carry Ebola." It didn't sit well with some of the fans in the stands.
Jackson has sometimes a strange sense of humor, yeah. He also jumps off light poles. So.
try to laugh a little bit about what's admittedly a really tough subject. Let's go now to Vicki in Palm Coast. Hi, Vicki. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm a healthcare provider, and I provide home health to a lot of the population in a very close county. I was wondering if there were any changes that are coming into place for healthcare providers who are in and out of the home, many, many people constantly in all populations. That includes early intervention, home health with the elderly, and mental health.
Sure. Yeah, thank you for the question. That's Vicki down in Palm Coast this morning. Dr. Rathore.
Well, I think the important thing is the same question we need to be asking anybody who has these symptoms that I mentioned earlier. Have you been outside of the United States in those in West African countries in the last 3 weeks? That's the question to ask. And if the answer is no, then you shouldn't worry about Ebola. Vicki, you should still follow all these precautions that the CDC and HCPAC recommend.
And Charlie, let's close with some final thoughts about perspective. Here's a tweet from a listener. Some of your listener comments sound like they came directly from Saturday night conspiracy theory radio shows. What would you say to those who are following this and are concerned?
Well, again, there's only been one case identified in the United States, and that was somebody that had come from Liberia. And it slipped through apparently, according to Liberian officials, had lied about his contacts. So there has not been any reported case of Ebola in Florida. So who are you going to get it from?
Dr. Rathore.
Well, I don't want to make light that this is a serious problem in Africa, but not in the United States. I mean, I would say if you are concerned about your health, go get a flu shot. You're more likely to get flu than Ebola.
Well, that is very important to remember, especially at this time of year. Flu season is in full swing. So thank you both for joining us today. We appreciate your time on such short notice, too. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
We were joined by Dr. Mobeen Rathore, president of the Duval County Medical Society and infectious diseases expert with Baptist Health and UF Health, and also Charlie Patton. He covers health news topics for the Florida Times Union.